Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Prabhupada's Leelamrita summary sessions. And as part of this, today we are going to have the Prabhupada's Leelamrita chapter 11 summary by Her Grace Chaya Mataji. Hare Krishna, Chaya Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your very precious time and association this morning and giving the summary of chapter 11. Now I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Please take over. Hare Krishna. Mataji, we cannot hear you, Mataji.
Sorry, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving this opportunity for me to talk about Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita. I'm just not qualified to talk about Leelamrita, but just for my purification, I will do this. And I beg all of you Vaishnavas to please bless me that I do this properly without any mistakes, and I'm sure I'll make some mistakes. So please forgive me for all those mistakes and please correct me so that I can learn better. Mataji, I will try to share the screen. Mataji, can you see the screen?
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Start. I'll start with prayers, Mataji. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधोभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेश तारिने जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधारा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे So, Mataji's so today's chapter is the dream come true. Last week we saw the previous chapter, which was the momentous hour of need. So in that, we saw how Srila Prabhupada moves to the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, which he calls his headquarters. And then Krishna Pandit gave a room to Bhaktivedanta Swami in the Radha Krishna temple of Chippiwada, Old Delhi. So that Bhaktivedanta Swami could write and also preach. And then we saw how Bhaktivedanta Swami wrote Easy Journey to Other Planets. And then he defined the momentous hour of need, which he said was the help for the entire humanity lay in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he stressed the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam reaching out to each and every living entity. Then we saw how he gave a very powerful eulogy to his Guru Maharaj on his Vyasa Puja day. And then there was an attempt to go to the Congress for Cultivating Human Spirit, which was a convention in Tokyo. And because of which we got a very beautiful book, Light of Bhagavat. So today we will start with this chapter, The Dream Come True. Okay, so this chapter starts with Srila Prabhupada saying, I planned that I must go to America. Generally, they go to London, but I did not want to go to London. I was simply thinking how to go to New York. I was scheming whether I shall go this way through Tokyo, Japan, or that way, which is cheaper. That was my proposal. And I was targeting to New York always. Sometimes I was dreaming that I have come to New York. So this writing was only half the battle for Srila Prabhupada, for Swami Bhaktivedanta Swamiji. The other half was publishing. Both Bhaktivedanta Swami and his spiritual master wanted to see Srimad Bhagavatam printed in English and distributed widely. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur insisted that most modern methods of printing and distributing books should be used to spread Krishna consciousness. And this was an order from his spiritual master. So though several of his god brothers were dissuading Bhaktivedanta Swami from taking up this huge task, there was no question in Bhaktivedanta Swami's mind about it. And Bhaktivedanta Swami was not interested to publish anything less than a 60-volume parampara presentation of verses, synonyms, purports based on the commentaries of previous acharyas. Now he considered Radha Damodar temple may be a best place to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, but for printing he would have to go to New Delhi. And then Swamiji started thinking who were all his likely helpers there. Then one person, Hitsaran Sharma, came to his mind. There were several reasons why Bhaktivedanta Swami chose this person. He was secretary to a wealthy philanthropist, J.D. Dalmia. And moreover, this Hitsaran Sharma owned a commercial press called Radha Press on his own. And he also recognized Bhaktivedanta Swami as a genuinely religious person. And Mr. Hitsaran Sharma considered his duty to help Bhaktivedanta Swami. So Bhaktivedanta Swami approached Hitsaran Sharma. But Hitsaran Sharma, did not want Bhaktivedanta Swami to go meet J.D. Dalmia. He said Mr. Dalmia might not be so interested to help. Instead, he suggested that Bhaktivedanta Swami go to Gorakhpur and show his manuscript to Hanuman Prasad Podar, who was a religious publisher and a trustee in the Gita Press. So Bhaktivedanta Swami decides to take his trip to Gorakhpur. Now, this Gorakhpur is 475 miles from New Delhi, and this posed a big financial strain on Bhaktivedanta Swami. His daily ledger shows that on August 8, 1962, he had a balance of rupees 130 with him. And now reaching Lucknow, uh, Yes, sorry. Reaching Lucknow brought this balance to 57 rupees. From Lucknow to Gorakhpur, Swamiji had to spend another 6 rupees. And then for the rickshaw, he paid 80 paisa. So Swamiji has documented all this. But this trip was very well worth the cost. On a brief examination of the manuscript, Mr. Poddar, he agreed to donate rupees 4,000 to Dalmia Trust towards Srimad Bhagavatam publication. This money was to go to Mr. Hitsar and Sharma, and he would manage the finances. But Swamiji predicted that the total cost for printing this volume one of Srimad Bhagavatam first canto would be around 7,000 rupees. So then he started going from door to door and collecting money in New Delhi. And this way he raised a few hundreds. But then Mr. Hitsar and Sharma agreed to start the printing. Now, Radha Press of Mr. Hitsar and Sharma had a 10-point type printer. But Bhaktivedanta Swami wanted, all the time, he wanted the best for Krishna. So he wanted a big print. He wanted a 12-point type. So he did not like this. And they wanted to take the work to another press called OK Press. So what was the routine which was being followed by Bhaktivedanta Swami was that OK Press would print a proof, and Bhaktivedanta Swami would go personally, collect the proof, get it back to his Chippiwada temple, and then he would read and correct all the mistakes and then take it back to the print, the OK Press, and they would do a second proof. And again, Bhaktivedanta Swami would get it. He would read and read it again, and still he might find, usually he would find some errors in that too. Then again, it would be taken back, and the third proof would be printed. And if no errors were seen in that, final print would be printed. So this was the attention which Bhaktivedanta Swami was giving on the printer. And sometimes, and a beautiful description is given how Swamiji would travel in this very busy, noisy old Delhi district area through the Chippiwada temple. He would walk over to Jama Masjid, and from there he would go to Chowri Bazaar. I have not personally gone to these places, but reading Lilamrita was so nice here. And passing through Chowri Bazaar, he would pass through a mosque, and just opposite the mosque was this OK Press. This was a very busy and very noisy area, and generally Bhaktivedanta Swami would travel this by foot. He would not take a rickshaw or anything. And sometimes a 14-year-old boy called Kantavedi, whose parents were also residing in the Chippiwada temple, would help Swamiji in carrying the proofs back and forth. And at this pace, Bhaktivedanta Swami could afford to order small quantities of paper. Now, this whole of volume one was printed in 4 months, and then it moved to the bindery. The bindery was done mostly by hand, and it took one more month. And the Radha Press was printing the dust jackets for the volume. And Mr. Hitsar and Sharma quotes this. He says, Swamiji was going hither and thither. He was getting whatever collections he could and depositing them. And he was always mixing with many persons going hither and thither. With me, he was very fond that I should do everything as soon as possible. He had a great haste. He used to say, time is going, time is going. Quick, do it. He would be annoyed with me also, and he would have me do his work first. But I was in the service of Dalmia, and I would tell him, your work has to be secondary for me. But he would say, now you have wasted my 2 days. What is this, Sharmaji? I'm coming here. I told you in the morning to do this, and you have not done it even now. But I would reply, I have got no time during the day. Then he would say, then you have wasted my complete day. So he was very much pressing me. This was his temperament. Now, the binding was reddish, the color of an earthen brick, and was inlaid with gold lettering. Bhaktivedanta Swami designed the dust jacket himself and he commissioned a young Bengali artist by name Salit to execute it. It was a wraparound picture of the entire spiritual and material manifestations. Dominating the front cover was a pink lotus, and within its whole were Radha and Krishna and their pastimes in Vrindavana, along with Lord Chaitanya, chanting and dancing with his associates. From Krishna's lotus planet emanated yellow rays of light, and in that effulgence were many spiritual planets appearing like so many suns. Sitting within each planet was a different four-armed form of Narayana, each with his name lettered beneath the planet: Trivikrama, Keshava, Purushottama, and so on. Within an oval at the bottom on the front cover, Mahavishnu was exhaling the material universes. On the inside cover was Bhaktivedanta Swami's explanation of the cover illustration. So totally 1,100 copies of the volume 1 was printed. So the system which was followed was Swamiji would receive 100 copies and he would have to go and sell them. And with that, he would pay the printer and binder and then get another supply of books. And Swamiji had big plans. He planned to publish second volume from the profits of the first and third volume from the profits of the second. And Bhaktivedanta Swami would generally would go alone to sell his books. And Dr. Radhakrishnan gave him a personal audience and agreed to even write a review. But the first review came from Hanuman Prasad Poddar. He said, it is a source of great pleasure for me that a long cherished dream has materialized and is going to be materialized with this and the would-be publications. I thank the Lord that due to his grace, this publication could see the light. Now, Bhaktivedanta Swami went to major libraries, universities, and schools in Delhi, always traveling on foot. He placed copies in more than 40 schools. The Ministry of Education ordered 50 copies and paid Rs. 600 plus packing and posting charges. U.S. Embassy purchased 18 copies through the Library of Congress. And wherever Bhaktivedanta Swami went to sell his book, all the people, they found him to be calm, quiet, noble, polite, scholarly, with a glow in him. But slowly the sales slowed down. And Bhaktivedanta Swami continued translating and writing purports. With writing so many volumes was a huge task, and with sales so slow, he would not complete the work in his lifetime. So this was the anxiety which Bhaktivedanta Swami always had with him, and this was the reason for his urgency too. It was only Bhaktivedanta Swami who experienced the success and failures of this venture. The printing press was very much okay because they were releasing the books in small volumes and based on the money which was coming. And the boy who was helping Bhaktivedanta Swami transport the books to his room in the Chippiwada temple, even he was not worried, he was getting paid and so on. But it was only Bhaktivedanta Swami who was always in anxiety. But still, by his full engagement in producing Srimad Bhagavatam, he felt bliss and assurance that Krishna was pleased. And Bhaktivedanta Swami did not intend for this Bhagavatam to become his private affair. It was the sorely needed medicine for the ills of Kali Yuga. And he thought, if a person read even a page, he might decide to take part in Lord Chaitanya's movement. If a person read the book, he would be convinced of the spiritual life. Book selling was real preaching, and who could preach as well as Srimad Bhagavatam? And over the months, many favorable reviews came for the volume one. Adyar Library Bulletin and Swami Bon Maharaj, who is the Bhaktivedanta Swami's god brother, he wrote, "A very great service. Do it and rest assured there will be no scarcity of resources." Then Sri Biswanath Das, who is the governor of Uttar Pradesh, and Dr. Zakir Hussain, the vice president of India, also gave very favorable reviews. So with all these reviews, Swamiji felt impelled to praise Krishna more and more and describe him in more and more of his volumes. So he returned to Vrindavan to write, and which was actually his real business in the temple. Now Swamiji began writing the volume 2. And after a few months of writing volume 2, he went back to Delhi to raise funds to print the volume. And this time an executive who worked in a factory called L&H Sugar Factory, he donated rupees 5,000. And this time Swamiji decided to supervise and get everything done on his own. He was not very happy with this Hitsar and Sharma, as we can see in the narration also. He was not happy with the time this person was giving for Swamiji's project. So he decided to deal directly with the OK Press. And he gave partial payment to the OK Press and they started printing the volume 2. And the time frame was early 1964. Now, this preface to the second volume is so beautiful. Here, Swamiji writes, "The path of fruitive activities, that is to say the path of earning money and enjoying life, as it is going on generally, appears to have become also our profession, although we have renounced the order of worldly life. They see that we are moving in the cities, in the government offices, banks, and other business places for promoting the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam. They also see that we are moving in the press, paper market, and amongst the bookbinders, also away from our residence at Vrindavan. And thus, they conclude, sometimes mistakenly, that we are also doing the same business in the dress of a mendicant. But actually, there is a gulf of difference between the two kinds of activities. This is not a business for maintaining an establishment of material enjoyment. On the contrary, it is a humble attempt to broadcast the glories of the Lord at a time when the people need it very badly." So finally, volume 2 also came out of the printing press. It was 400 pages and then it was cloth bound, brick colored, and Swamiji used the same dust jacket as volume 1. Now starts the process of selling this volume 2. So there was one Delhi bookseller, Dr. Manohar Lal Jain, who had a little bit of success in selling these volumes. He sold around 150 to 200 copies over a span of 2 to 3 years. And the pricing was also very minimal. It was just rupees 16. So people could easily buy it. Now, in January 1964, Bhaktivedanta Swami met the Vice President Zakir Hussain. This was a very interesting meeting where Swamiji started talking about the love of Godhead to this Dr. Hussain. And the Vice President wanted to know how love of Godhead could help humanity. Actually, this is a very important question posed by a ruler to a sadhu, but the Vice President was too busy for the reply. For him, meeting Bhaktivedanta Swami was just a political courtesy. He did that and he ushered Swamiji out of his room. But Bhaktivedanta Swami came back and wrote a letter to Dr. Hussain. He answered saying, Muslims also admit that there is nothing greater than Allah. The Christians also admit that God is great. The human society must learn to obey the laws of God. He reminded Dr. Hussain of India's great cultural asset, the Vedic literature. The Indian government could perform the best welfare work for humanity by disseminating Vedic knowledge in a systematic way. Srimad Bhagavatam was produced in India. It was the substantial contribution India could offer to the world. So in March 1964, Krishna Pandit of the Chippiwada temple, he arranged for Bhaktivedanta Swami to reside for a few months in the nearby Sri Radha Vallabhaji temple to give a series of lectures and also continue writing and publishing. Now in June of 1964, Bhaktivedanta Swami met the Prime Minister, Mr. Lal Bahadur Shastri. This meeting was arranged by one person by name Dholadram Khanna. He was a trustee in the Chippiwada temple. Now, this Dholadram Khanna would interact with Bhaktivedanta Swami, and he had realized how great Bhaktivedanta Swami was. So he thought, let the Prime Minister meet a genuine sadhu. So this was the idea by which he arranged the meeting. And Bhaktivedanta Swami, appearing scholarly in his spectacles, met the Prime Minister, introduced himself and his book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he gave a copy of that book to the Prime Minister. The next day, Swamiji wrote a kind of a thank you letter to the Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister gave a reply immediately. He said, "Dear Swamiji, many thanks for your letter. I'm indeed grateful to you for presenting a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam to me. I do realize that you are doing valuable work. It would be a good idea if the libraries in the government institutions purchased copies of this book." So immediately the Ministry of Education again agreed to take 50 copies of volume 2 as well. As we remember, the Ministry of Education had also taken 50 copies of volume 1. Now, Swamiji returns back to Radha Damodar temple to complete his volume 3. Now, how he had planned was volume 1 had first 6.5 chapters of the first canto. Volume 2 began from page 365, from the 8th verse of 7th chapter. And volume 3 talked about the advent of Kali. Now, to raise funds for volume 3, Swamiji decided to try Bombay this time. So, in the month of July 1964, he traveled to Bombay and he resided in a free ashrama called Premakutir Dharmashala. Now, some people, generally people in this Dharmashala were very nice to Swamiji, but some were criticizing. What kind of a sannyasi makes business of book selling? So it was very astonishing for them, because this sannyasi was a very, very different sannyasi. But Swamiji never gave any attention to all their talks. And he became a guest for 15 days with a member of the Dalmia family. Now, this person was from the Dalmia family, was a very, very nice person. And he even offered to construct a nice cottage for Swamiji in his property. But Srila Prabhupada says, no, it is not good to be fully dependent and patronized by a Vishayi, materialist. But I stayed for 15 days and he gave me exclusive use of a typewriter for writing my books. So here, Swamiji is showing how to perform Yukta Vairagya by being a perfect acharya. There were very small orders from institutions for the book, but nothing big was happening. So Swamiji decided to meet Sumati Murarji of the Sindhya Steamship Company. He remembered that in 1958, one of her officers had promised to arrange half the fare for his passage to America. So now Swamiji decides to meet Sumati Murarji. But all his attempts to meet her were very unsuccessful. So he decides to wait for her on the front steps of her building, of her office building, so that when she would come back, come out of her office in the late afternoon, he could talk to her. And determined to catch her attention, he sat there for 5 hours on those steps, chanting. And in the evening, when Mrs. Murarji was coming out of her office, she sees the saintly person sitting there and she asks her secretary what is going on. And then she approaches the Swamiji and with lots of respect, she talks to him and asks him to come meet her the next day. And the next day when Swamiji meets her, she agreed to give the aid for printing whatever Swamiji wanted. So now The plan was, with the third volume completed, Bhaktivedanta Swami would have a supply of impressive literature to go to the West. And he had also met some great personalities like the Prime Minister and the Vice President. So Swamiji's thinking was, the books were powerful preaching, so let me spread it. Then Swamiji now decides to come back to Vrindavan. And here, Janmashtami is nearing and he decides to celebrate Janmashtami at the Radha Damodar temple. And he invites Biswanath Das, the governor of Uttar Pradesh, to preside. Now, if you remember, this governor had also written a very favorable review for volume one. Now, Swamiji got flyers printed, and in that, along with the announcement of this Janmashtami festival, it also had an advertisement for the Srimad Bhagavatam series, which would be completed in 60 volumes. And on the day of the Janmashtami festival, Bhaktivedanta Swami lectured on a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the age of Kali as an ocean of faults, but there was one saving quality in it, that is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then he also performed a kirtan. And then at the end, he gave volume 2 to the governor. And the next day of Janmashtami is Bhaktivedanta Swami's birthday. It was his 69th birthday. And a few days later, Swamiji was invited by the governor to his mansion in Lucknow. And when Swamiji went there, he met a musician by name Shishir Kumar Bhattacharya. This musician sang a lot of kirtans on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on that occasion. And we have a quote from him. He says, "We sat together and I was sitting side by side with the same sadhu, and he introduced himself as Bhaktivedanta Swami. We discussed, and then the Swami presented me with a book, Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktivedanta Swami said, 'I am interested to propagate Krishna Nama and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western countries. I am trying to get some way to find some ticket. If I get, I will go and I will propagate Mahaprabhu's teachings.' And he uttered this verse from Mahaprabhu, Prithvite Ache Yatha Nagaradi Grama Sarvatra Pracharahaibe Mora Nama. But I did not think he would actually be able to do it because he was very simple and poor. By January 1965, Bhaktivedanta Swami planned to finish his third volume publication. Thus, in less than 2 years, Swamiji, who had almost no money of his own, published the 3-volume Srimad Bhagavatam set. Now, it had been more than 40 years since his Gurudev had first asked Bhaktivedanta Swami, who was a young grihastha then, to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. And Swamiji was still making plans. Once he met a businessman from Mathura named Mr. Agarwal. And he mentioned to this person in passing, as he did to almost everyone whom he met, that he wanted to go to the West. Mr. Agarwal volunteered to try to get him a sponsorship. He said he would ask his son Gopal, an engineer in Pennsylvania, to send back a sponsorship form. Swamiji asked him to do so, but he did not take it seriously. Then again in the month of March 1965, Swamiji went to Bombay again to try to sell his books. There was not much success in it and he returned back to Delhi. Then suddenly Bhaktivedanta Swami was contacted by the Ministry of External Affairs. And they informed him that his no objection certificate to go to the US was ready. And Swamiji did not understand what was happening. He asked them, "What exactly is happening here?" And they said, one Mr. Gopal Agarwal from Butler, Pennsylvania, had declared that he would bear the expenses of Bhaktivedanta Swami during his stay in the US. Now, Bhaktivedanta Swami had a sponsor, but still he needed a passport, visa, P form, and travel fare. Now, Krishna Pandit from the Chippiwada temple helped him and Swamiji got his passport by the 10th of June. Then again, Swamiji went to Bombay to reach out to Sumati Morarji to bear the travel fare. Here he goes and he shows this sponsorship paper and his passport to Mr. Choksi, her secretary, who was very impressed with what has happened. And then he went to speak to Mrs. Morarji on Swamiji's behalf. But Mrs. Morarji says, Swamiji is too old to go to the US. Why doesn't he stay in India and complete the Srimad Bhagavatam? Why doesn't he complete the job he has already started doing here? So this Mr. Choksi comes out and tells Bhaktivedanta Swami what Mrs. Morarji said. And Bhaktivedanta Swami did not like it. He then coached Mr. Choksi on what he should say. He said, he taught him, go tell Mrs. Morarji, I find this gentleman very inspired to go to the States and preach there. So Mr. Choksi goes again to Mrs. Morarji's room and tries telling whatever Swamiji taught him to say. But again, Mrs. Morarji's reply was, Swamiji is not healthy. It would be too cold there. And people there may not be are not very cooperative. So what would he do going there? Let him not go. Now Swamiji is tired with Mr. Choksi's ineffectiveness and he demands a personal interview. A gray-haired, determined Bhaktivedanta Swami steps inside Mrs. Morarji's office and like a father reassuring a daughter, he reassures her and tells her, he raises his hand and tells her, it is all right. Then she agreed to send him by their ship. Now, with even the travel fare taken care of, what were the two things left? P-form and US visa. Now, this P-form is a certificate which was given by the State Bank of India when an Indian national wants to leave the country, stating there are no excessive debts by this person. And so Mrs. Morarji, she knew that both these things would take a while for Swamiji to get it done. So she let Swamiji reside in a small unfurnished apartment in the Sindhya colony itself. Now this Sindhya colony had all the workers who were working in the Sindhya steamship. And these residents, they treated Swamiji like a very special sadhu, a celebrity, because they knew what all he had achieved. And they were so excited to have him among them. They got him rice, sabji, fruits, and so on. And Swamiji gave his, and Swamiji would, they would give so much of food to him that Swamiji would eat. And then he would give his remnants to their children. How fortunate are these children? And Swamiji, he spoke from Srimad Bhagavatam to all the older residents. And also some ladies of the Sindhya colony would gather and he would give discourses to them. And he was so kind and compassionate to these ladies. And he would teach them so many things, like even how to part their hair. That way he was teaching them, like a very kind, compassionate father. He was teaching them so many things. But he was not limiting his activities to that. Every day, Swamiji would walk, go to the Andheri station, and from there take a train and go around to work on his visa, his P form. And also he would try to sell his books and seek supporters for his future Srimad Bhagavatam publications. And most of the days he would be so tired when he would come back late in the evening to his apartment, and the residents have talked so much about it, and he would be so tired sitting, saying these agnanis are not understanding what I'm trying to do here. And then 10 minutes he would be up and again sitting and writing his Srimad Bhagavatam purports. So now, and Bhaktivedanta Swami had a page printed and it entitled My Mission. And he would show this to influential men in his attempts to get further financing for Srimad Bhagavatam. This printed statement proposed that God consciousness was the only remedy for the evils of modern materialistic society. Despite scientific advancement and material comforts, there was no peace in the world. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the glory of India, must be spread all over the world. And Swamiji also read Srimad Bhagavatam to Mrs. Morarji in the evenings. Then on July 28, 1965, with the help of the people working in the Sindhya steamship company, Swamiji obtained his visa. Now, this P form was the only thing left, and this P form was posing lots of difficulty because the sponsor was a private man and he had sponsored for only 1 month. So the person who was working the case of Swamiji actually decided to reject the case. But Bhaktivedanta Swami asks him not to do so and move his application to the senior officials there. And Swamiji was waiting in front of the office of this chief official of foreign exchange in the bank. And suddenly that person, Mr. Rao, he comes out and personally tells Swamiji, "Swamiji, I passed your case." So it just happened. Now start the final arrangements for Bhaktivedanta Swami to come to the US. So here, all this was helped by Mr. Choksi. He realized that Swamiji did not have the right clothing to come here. So he bought a woolen jacket, woolen clothes, some new dhotis, all this. He spent around rupees 250. Now, Bhaktivedanta Swami accepted this, but what was his request? The request was that he should print 500 copies of a small pamphlet. And what should this pamphlet contain? It should contain Shikshashtakam, an advertisement for Srimad Bhagavatam, and also an advertisement for the Sindhya Steamship Company. So now Mr. Choksi says, "I asked him, why couldn't you go earlier? Why do you want to go now to the States at this age?" He replied, "I will be able to do something good, I'm sure." His idea was that someone should be there who would be able to go near people who were lost in life and teach them and tell them what the correct thing is. I asked him so many times, "Why do you want to go to the States? Why don't you start something in Bombay, Delhi, or even Vrindavan?" I was teasing him also, "You are interested in seeing the States, therefore you want to go. All Swamijis want to go to the States and you want to enjoy there." He said, "What have I got to see? I have finished my life." So finally, and Swamiji was very restless that why isn't Mrs. Morarji giving him a date of leaving. So finally, Mrs. Morarji scheduled a place for Swamiji on her ship Jaladuta on August 13, 1965. The reason Mrs. Morarji took a while was she wanted the right captain who could understand the needs of a Brahmana. And that person was Mr. Arun Pandya. And she even instructed him to carry extra vegetables and fruits for Swamiji. Now, 2 weeks before the Jaladuta's departure, Swamiji came to Calcutta by train. And although he had lived much of his life in the city, he had nowhere to stay now. And he remembers his Vrindavan bhajan, which he had written. Then Swamiji decides to call on Mr. Shishir Bhattacharya, the flamboyant Kirtana singer, whom he had met in the house of the governor, UP governor. And this Mr. Bhattacharya was very willing to help. So he arranges various lectures for Swamiji to do in these 2 weeks. And he personally takes him to all those places. And he also thought Swamiji's leaving to America should make an important news story. And he took Swamiji to various news paper offices to print this news, but they all listened, but nobody agreed to. And finally, a local Bengali daily, Dainik Basumati, agreed to print an article with Swamiji's picture. The day before his departure, Swamiji traveled to Mayapur to visit the samadhi of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he returned to Calcutta. Now Swamiji was ready. So the day comes, August 13, 1965. Swamiji has a suitcase, an umbrella, a supply of dry cereal, and a Bengali copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was making a momentous break with his previous life. He was dangerously old, not in strong health. He didn't know what he would find to eat in America. He was prepared to live on boiled potatoes and his cereal. A sannyasi was still respected in India. Srimad Bhagavatam was respected. There was no tradition of sadhus, temple, or free ashramas in the US. All Vaishnava sadhus took a vow never to leave Vrindavan. to die in Vrindavan was perfection of life. And there was another tradition which said a sannyasi should not cross the ocean and go to the land of mlechas. But beyond all these was the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, which was non-different from the desire of Lord Krishna. And also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction of a Senapati Bhakta who will come and spread his word throughout the globe. So when Bhaktivedanta Swami thought of all the books he was bringing, that transcendental knowledge which was in English, he became confident. That was his main baggage, several trunks with his books. 203 volume sets of Srimad Bhagavatam were coming separately in the Sindhya cargo. Now this Jaladuta, a black cargo ship, looked small and weathered. And all the sailors eyed the elderly saffron-dressed sadhu curiously as he walked determined to the boat. Swamiji was a lone fighter. The only person standing to send him off was Mr. Bhattacharya. No friends, no supporter, no disciple, nobody. For thousands of years, Krishna Bhakti was known only in India. The only Swamis who had reached America were non-devotees, Mayavadi impersonalists. But now, Krishna was sending his own dear emissary, our dear Srila, our Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji's. Please correct whatever mistakes I have made and please add Mataji's. Thank you.
Hari Bol. That was so beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for picking all those wonderful points and you narrating it so nicely. Thank you. It's a pleasure to see you and hear from you. Thank you, Mataji. Beautiful presentation. I really liked something. One point is how Srila Prabhupada, one of the qualities of a devotee said that he doesn't like to waste time. If there is time getting wasted, he gets very worried. So in the first half of the presentation, that was very evident that Srila Prabhupada kept manifesting these different qualities and he was very worried about time getting wasted. Every minute should be used somehow or the other in Krishna's service. So that was beautiful, Mataji. And thank you for this entire, it was very emotional because Prabhupada is leaving and all the little big challenges actually he had just before his departure. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. It was beautiful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. What a wonderful class. Wonderful class. So as he did, as he was saying, so emotional. Couple of thoughts were coming to my mind as you were speaking. One was that, you know, to get sponsorship at that time, I mean, really have to hand it to Gopal. You know, first of all, agreeing to sponsor somebody, even for just a month, how much of a legal responsibility that is for somebody. It's not something very simple. I don't know, maybe nowadays it's much easier because people, you know, sometimes have more money and things are just easier. But, you know, having to sponsor somebody from India at that time for 1 month, you don't know who they are. Really, he doesn't know who they are. He's only doing this out of his respect for his father. That's what we can understand, that out of respect for his father that he did that. So that's one thing. And also to be able to support him for 1 month, plus his wife allowing it. You know, his wife is not Indian, right? Mm-hmm. She's American. So an Indian wife would have been very difficult for her to say no. An American wife could have said, I'm not going to watch. I don't want you to sponsor him. We don't know who he is. You know, she could have said anything. Though that attests to the fact of their respect and qualities. You know, those two things I was thinking. And also when he was, you know, just imagining Srila Prabhupada, you know, coming across with just his, marmarado, and what do you call him? The puffed rice, right? Mm-hmm. And he's just willing to eat potatoes. And I remember when we first came here, as I've told you guys before, you know, we were here in 65, 64. Of course, I don't remember that time, but I remember when we were in California and we would go to the India store once every 2 months to get supplies because you couldn't find, there was no Indian grocery store. Okay. You know, you were lucky if you found rice, you know, and you know, it was Mahatma rice. That was the only rice you could find. It was Mahatma rice. And now when I think about it, it was really bad. Now I would get the real... But that's what it was like. And, you know, and it was difficult. And, he came by himself, all by himself at that age, solely for his Guru Maharaj. I don't know. It just blows my mind every time I think about it. And you just where I could feel your emotion as you were going through that. And I could feel it in my heart. So thank you so much. It was a beautiful class.
Thank you, Mataji. Please bless me, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Chaya Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. What a wonderful class, Mataji. It was so, so nice from starting to ending, Mataji. Through your words, we can see how Srila Prabhupada has taken trouble to printing books without wasting time and how he managed to do the Lakshmi also. He did not waste even a paisa of the Lakshmi, wisely used. And the trouble he has taken and for the visa, passport, P form, how he has trying to continuously convince Sumati Morarji. Those are very, very wonderful, Mataji. And one point while you are narrating this summary, Mataji, we see that some of the sadhus are criticizing Srila Prabhupada. Why this sadhu is wasting time in the distributing, printing all these books? This is a kind of business for them. But we can see now what is the value of his books. Through his books, we are getting this enlightenment. But when we see other group of devotees or other, what we can say, sampradayas, they don't dedicate their life in studying the books of this Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, or whatever Srila Prabhupada has printed, they don't spend. Because I have some friends from other sampradayas, they don't do this routine kind of reading every day, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Because they don't have the scriptures. Mm. They don't have this enlightenment. Now, while you are telling Mataji, now I can relate the other friends who are in other sampradayas, how they are following and how we are following only because of Srila Prabhupada's, what we can say, giving this knowledge to whole world, Krishna Bhakti, through his books. Because other sampradayas, they only do mantra japa, whatever Guru has given to them, that's it. They won't dedicate their time reading all the scriptures. But we can see now how Srila Prabhupada envisioned this whole world should become chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reading the scriptures. How he has kept the day routine every day. And that is wonderful, Mataji. That is wonderful. And how you narrated this summary is also very sweet, Mataji. Very sweet. And another point I got while listening to your summary, Mataji. Okay, I'll tell later, Mataji. I'll give chance for others, Mataji. But thank you so much, Mataji, for such a sweet narration, Mataji. Thank you so much.
So much, Mataji. Thank you. And please bless me, Mataji.
We need your immense blessings, Mataji. We are nowhere, Mataji. We have to follow your footsteps. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Nowhere, Mataji. Thank you,
Mataji. Hare Krishna Chaya Mataji. What a class. Wow. Hari Hari Bol. It was so nice. You picked up the best points in the flow to, you know, taking us through the whole history, how he went from one place to another place. And such punching lines from the narration and also lines that are turning points. So that was so wonderful. And your emotion-filled narration for Srila Prabhupada that touched the heart so much. And see, he's the only person to write, to come, to get paper, to see it is printed, and then he has to distribute it, collect money, and then start up the next thing. I mean, every day must be definitely a race with the time for him. And for his old age, and with no money and no supporters, I mean, he did it all himself with the only desire to please the Guru. and continuously fixed on that, right? It's not easy to be day in and day out, be fixed on the goal, even though there is no possibility of, you know, I mean, he's desiring it, and it's what is coming to achieve his goal is very, very less. You know, the achievements are less, but still he goes on and on writing. And also I saw that how he doesn't compromise the quality of printing. Mm-hmm. That the Hitcharan Press had a 10 point, Prabhupada wanted 12 points. So he went to OK Press. Yes, so yes. Whether he has money or not, whether he's dependent on someone or not, he wouldn't compromise on the service, the quality of the service. So many wonderful qualities of Prabhupada come out through this. And he's also telling that how it is difficult for him to get out at that time to take the P form and so many other things. And nobody would expect that, you know, an old man like that would go and achieve something there. So it's really very, very wonderful. Like Leelamrita is like Krishna book. I could say that much adventurous it is. And it's also just happened recently, not even 500 years back, 50 years back. And so grateful for you, Mataji. And you've personally read it 2 times, all the 7 volumes. So that shows your natural attraction for Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita. And please come again. Thank you so much.
I like to listen, Mataji, and I read Leelamrita because of you. Whatever I'm here today is because of you. So thank you, Mataji.
Oh, no, Mataji, I didn't read it. No, I mean, I'm just introducing, but you took it up with full vigor, and to read that 7 volumes cover to cover on your own 2 times is really hats off. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your very valuable association.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please go ahead with your realizations for Mataji's summary of 11th chapter.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Is Vrinda Mataji speaking?
No, Vinita, better you go ahead.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Chai Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. What a beautiful class, Mataji. Whatever you are speaking, your eyes and your expression, we can see it's very nicely, so detailedly explained, Mataji. Thank you so much for your sweet association. Very grateful to you for everything, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, and thank you for coaching me with some technological skills yesterday.
No, Mataji, nothing. I was ready anyway with your PPT. No problem. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for everything you do for me. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Chaya Mataji, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Amruta Ki Jai. Mataji, with your permission, I just explain whatever you teach us. Srila Prabhupada Amruta is Mataji touch to heart. Thank you, organizer, that they start Srila Prabhupada Amruta. Mataji, the tears is not stopped when we hear Srila Prabhupada Amruta. We become more sincere to read Srila Prabhupada books. You explained first 15 minutes, I'm not able to make a notes. After that, you explained Sisi Radha Vallabh Temple gave a serious lectures of to continue his writing and publishing, and government office and some politicians are just read the Srila Prabhupada letter, but they are not responding. And then volume 2, 400 pages, Prabhupada has Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada has written and bound brick colors, white dust, and then volume 1. Before that, please forgive me, volume 1 Prabhupada write down by the mercy of Srila Gurudev, Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he saw me. The bookseller are not accepting, not supporting that Prabhupada is going abroad. That time they are not write down And only one person, Manhar Lal, had a printing express write down in her newspaper about Srila Prabhupada is going abroad for a mission of his Gurudev and preaching Shishi Chaitanya Charanamrita, Shishi Bhagavatam and Shishi Bhagavad Gita in the volumes of 150 and 200. Prabhupada take 150 and 200 copies that 2-3 years price is rupees 16. In January 1964, Bhaktivedanta Swami meet Zakir Hussain. He wanted to know how Srila Prabhupada is working hard to write down Shishi Bhagavatam. Then March 1964, Krishna Pandit arranged to Bhaktivedanta Swami to help them for a few months in the volumes of first six and half chapter volume and the page number 365, 8 verses chapter volume 3 and then you explained about I just repeat whatever you teach us. Only point, Mataji. The rises funds for volume 3. Swamiji decided to try to come Bombay. And in 1964 July, Prema Kutir Dharmasala, Bombay, Swamiji will stay there. In Dharmasala, everybody is very cooperative, but some are criticized that this Swami is selling books, but Prabhupada is just ignore and just focus in that to spread a Krishna conscious and to give a Krishna conscious by the Shishi Bhagavatam volume 1, 2 and 3. And then some are criticized, but Prabhupada is not taking seriously. Then you explain Swamiji, Bhaktivedanta Swamiji stay there 15 days meeting with Morarji. This is very painful, Mataji, that Srila Prabhupada is Prabhupada is sitting outside the step almost 5 hours and chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And when the Morarji, Mrs. Morarji came from the office, she gave us so much respect to Srila Prabhupada and hear all the things. And she said that Srila Prabhupada, you are so old so that it is difficult to go and preach. Nobody will accept Krishna consciousness abroad. But Srila Prabhupada is so strong and determined. Srila Prabhupada printed the third volume. She arranged to give a Lakshmi for that. And I take only 2 minutes, Mataji. Celebrating Janmashtami in Shishi Radha Damodar Temple. Volume 1 reviews, Bhaktivedanta Swami 69 birthday, next day of Janmashtami. And some musician came there in Shridham Vrindavan Dham. That time, everybody is taking Krishna name. That time, Shishi Chaitanya Bhaktivedanta Swami told that musician that Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji is teaching Purthvite Sarche Sarvatra Prachar More Naam. So I'm going abroad to give a Krishna consciousness to all Vaishnava. January 1965, Swamiji planned to finish that third volume. 40 years since his Gurudev, he had first asked Bhaktivedanta Swami to preach Krishna consciousness in West, March 1965. Swami visit Bombay attending to sell the Shishi Bhagavatam. He get a passport in 16 June visa and that P form. Srila Prabhupada is go and tell Miss Morarji and somehow she is convinced and Swamiji not Swamiji you are not healthy. People are, it is difficult to convince material people in abroad, but Srila Prabhupada is so determined to serve, to preach Krishna consciousness in abroad. Further association and visa P form, sell his books and supported for the future. Sisi Bhagavatam Publishing, Sisi Muraji, Mrs. Muraji Hell. It is very painful that Srila Prabhupada has to sit in a Andheri train to Churchgate and to take her his visa and P form and everything process for going abroad. The tears is not stop and Prabhupada is coming back. Prabhupada said that this material person is not understand and not given me a not supporting me. At late night he came that flat given by Muraji Desai, and then he 10 minutes he become upset, and then he get up and start to write down Shri Bhagavata. A gray hair is very determined. Bhaktivedanta Swami received Muraji and said, "It is all right. Every going that I already explained. Print pieces of small, and then he gave an instruction to this modern materialistic." He gave an instruction to one person, I forgot the name, that please copy, print a copy of 500 copy of Shishiji Shishtashtakam and spread in all the Vaishnava. August 30, 1965, Arun Pandya, Mrs. Muraji, give an instruction to Arun Pandya that please bring up more vegetables and fruit for this Swami, and he is waiting for a right person. And Shishir and Bhattacharya for a 1 week lecture from Swamiji in various news. And then August 13, 1965, and abroad there is a no traditions that sadhu will leave the temple and went abroad, but Srila Prabhupada is and they are not ready to leave Vrindavan and go to the abroad. Sannyasi has to stay in a dham only. They are not going abroad, but Senapati Bhakti, Shishi Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Bhakti Siddhanta Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he is so determined to spread a Krishna consciousness in abroad. Shishi Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji's message, volume 203, Shishi Bhagavatam Swami. Nobody is, or the Mayavis are not, Mayavi, wo time pe abroad mein Krishna consciousness nahi de paate the, aur Srila Prabhupada ke paas kuch bhi nahi tha, aur Srila Prabhupada उनके गुरु महाराज के इंस्ट्रक्शन फॉलो करके उसी चैतन्य उसी भागवतम लेके एब्रोड में आए. हरे कृष्ण हरि बोल. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. माता जी यू एक्सप्लेन सो नाइसली. आई डोंट हैव दैट क्वालिफिकेशन दैट आई एक्सप्लेन वर्ड टू वर्ड लाइक यू एक्सप्लेन विथ इमोशन. हरि हरि गौरांग दंडवत प्रणाम. माता जी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Please bless me, Mataji, an iota of your bhakti, Mataji. That is all I want. Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, Mataji, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, I got one question, Mataji. We see that you said that Srila Prabhupada crossed seven oceans and went to the land of Klecha. As a sannyasi, he is not supposed to travel. So I hear this in our Sri Sampradaya and other Sampradaya also, Mataji. Why they are not supposed to travel, Mataji? Why they are not supposed to cross seven oceans and go to this Mlecha land, Mataji?
Mataji, I don't know, Mataji. Maybe some seniors can answer. I don't know why they are not allowed to.
I'm not senior, but I want to answer.
Mataji, please.
Yeah, so the only reason that has been mentioned for generally Vaishnavas or even Mayavadis, any sannyasi not to cross the ocean is because their achar will be spoiled. you cannot follow all the sannyas or the rules and regulations properly. You'll be put under several circumstances where your daily sadhana will be impeded, including your sandhya vandanam. Generally sannyasis have a list of duties that they perform at particular time and the kind of ahara niyama that they have, like they can eat only certain things in a certain way. And generally, traditionally, sannyasis cannot do many things, like they cannot even light a fire to cook. So like that, there are several rules in the sannyasa order of life. The sannyas ashram has a list of rules, which is very strictly followed by smartha sannyasis generally. Vaishnava sannyasis, again, they prescribe to time, place, circumstance, situations, and they take it as it comes. So that's how Prabhupada, because for a higher purpose, he had to cross the ocean and spread Krishna consciousness. He didn't care much about, the exact, how do I perform this exact rule or regulation. Of course, he kept up all the base, general rules and regulations to the point where it was needed. And he knew where to relax and where to be more practical. So, for that matter, not only sannyasis, anyone who's practicing Sanatana Dharma in a very nice, orderly fashion is not supposed to cross the ocean. So I remember just like from, even grihasthas, I'm telling, not just sannyasis, especially sannyasis, but even grihasthas who are very brahmanical and who have to follow certain things are recommended not to cross. Like two generations back, it was almost a sin to cross the ocean because you cannot keep up anything once you cross the ocean.
Okay. Thank you so much, Preeti Mataji. Thank you so much. Yeah, dear devotees, anybody would like to share their realizations for Mataji's class? Or else with the Mataji's permission and devotees' permission, we can end today's class. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Chaya Mataji, for taking your precious time and giving this wonderful, wonderful summary, Mataji. It was very heart-touching, Mataji, once again, to listen from a pure devotee's mouth like you, Mataji. Thank you so much. So with this, I would like to pay my obeisances to you and all the devotees on the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnav vrinda ki jaya, namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Prabhupada leelamrita ki jaya, Hare Krishna Chaya Mataji ki jaya. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Mataji. Hare Krishna. Koti koti dhanyavaad pranam.
Tomorrow, on Monday, for mid morning, for early morning, every day. Hare Bol. Bye bye.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare.